Ruth chapter 3. There's a key word. If you mention Ruth to just about anybody that knows their Bible very well, the first thing that they'll say to you when you mention Ruth to them is that there was a kinsman redeemer. And you see that word kinsman in Ruth chapter 3 in verse 12 a couple of times, in verse 13 four times, it's in verse 9. The question there is, what does that mean? Well, a kinsman. In Ruth's particular case, it had to do with a direct relationship by marriage. That Ruth had a kinsman because Naomi had a family member that was legally, according to Leviticus, eligible to marry Ruth and to give her children and to restore that line that would have been lost because of the death of her husband. In our case, Hebrews teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ became a man just like us so that he could save us from our sins. And so he is our kinsman in that regard. It had to be a man. God's law required it that would deliver us from our sins. The Word of God required that. And so we get excited about the book of Ruth because just like Ruth had a kinsman redeemer, we have a kinsman redeemer. And we know the word redeemed. We've been seeing that in the study we've been doing in Romans, that we were bought with a price, the Bible says. So we have a redeemer. Ruth had a redeemer. And chapter 3 is a turning point in the book. We've already seen some turning already, but still, so far, all Ruth has is a place where she can glean. The word glean means that she could go there and pick up what was left over and take it home and have something to eat. In other words, she had a way to survive, her and not just for her, but for Naomi as well. And that's nice, but do you want to spend your whole life doing that? Just getting along. You know, a lot of people live, spend their whole life just getting along, don't they? And they never really have what's next, and it's described in chapter 3 and verse 1. And let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll just read part of this. We're already almost out of time, so I'm going to have to break this up a little bit. But let's read the first few verses anyway in chapter 3. The Bible says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight. And Lord, we understand the meaning of rest. We long for rest sometimes, but we should be able to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at his feet, we can find rest. It's totally dependent upon him. We cannot give it to ourselves. We cannot meet our own needs. We cannot satisfy ourselves. But we're dependent upon him. And tonight, as a church, Lord, we come before you asking for that rest to be renewed and refreshed. Lord, help us to understand the meaning of these few verses tonight. And I pray we would use the time wisely. But most of all, that the Holy Spirit would visit with us and would make himself clear and plain in this passage, and speak to our hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's kind of hard to get excited about Ruth as much as you did the very first time you read it. It's like one of those things you've seen, a story, for example, a movie or whatever, you've seen it over and over and over again, you know how it's going to end. Or a book that you've read three or four times, you know how it's going to end. We know how it's going to end. It's got a happy ending. Amen? Amen. So kind of fun to see it go along. The difference in the book of Ruth and life and situations in life is we don't know the ending, do we? I don't know what's going to happen. Somebody says, what's going to happen? I don't know. The Lord knows. Amen. What's God going to do? I don't know. The Lord knows. I know what God is like. I know God's characteristics and His attributes, and I know His love and His mercy and His grace, but I don't know what He's going to do, and I don't know how He's going to provide, or I won't say if He's going to provide, but how is a good word. A lot of people may find themselves going through life kind of like Ruth in the second chapter. They're just living from day to day. They're getting along, but they never have found rest. And this is pretty obvious now. How is she going to find rest? She's going to have to establish a relationship with Boaz that is stronger than just an acquaintance. He knows who she is, and she knows who he is, and he's already shown her favor, and he's allowed her to gather a whole lot more than she should have gotten, and he's taken good care of her. But it's still a casual relationship. There's still no bond. There's still no obligation. There's still no connection. Used to be, and sadly it's hardly this way anymore, but it used to be when women would get married, they would marry a man that could provide for them and provide for their family and that would be there to protect them. And the way God intended it was that way. The devil doesn't like the things that God establishes, and so the devil has been promoting, and I don't want to make anybody mad here, I'm just telling you the way it is. The devil promotes this idea of equality, and we're all going to be the same, and so the devil tells us that we don't need to have anybody to provide for us or protect for us, we should do it ourselves. But back in this day, things were more like they ought to be, and the ladies were looking for someone to take care of them. Ruth's husband had died. She didn't have that. Now she's having to fend for herself. You and I, as individuals, unless we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is proper, we're just fending for ourselves. And that's what she needed, was something more than just that casual acquaintance. I was listening to something the other day, and I can't recall what it was now, but it was, I don't even know where it was to think of it. But anyway, I heard somebody make this statement. It just jumped out. It may have been in chapel here last Tuesday. The speaker said, or a week ago Tuesday, the speaker said to the students, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And I don't know why, it just kind of stuck in my mind, and I thought, I wonder if they really understand what that means. It's not just knowing who he is, right? It's not just even talking to him. It's not just having him do some things for you. It's stronger than that, isn't it? That's what she needed. That's what we need. How did that come to pass? I can't give you all the steps tonight. I'll break this into two messages, but I'll just tell you what to look out for. And let's go back to verse 1 and see this again. Naomi says to Ruth, she says, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And so Naomi understands that Ruth needs something more than what she has, that she needs something more than just to go to the field and gather the scraps every day for the rest of her life, that she needs something more secure. We need security in our life, amen? Amen? And hey, guess what? You can't give it to yourself. Say, I can take care of myself. No, you can gather scraps, and you can have a life where you gather scraps, and I know people that do that, but do you think the Lord would like to give us rest? Amen? Amen? Do you think he would like to have a relationship with us? That's the question here. The question in verse 1 is, what do you need to do, Ruth? But then really the question is, what is Boaz going to do? And at that point in time, it's rather unknown. Now, it's hard to put yourself in this mindset, but think about what a lost person thinks. They don't know what to expect from God. They ought to if they read their Bible, but they really don't. A lot of people have been lied to by the devil or by others, and they've been told that God's just vicious and judgmental, and God hates everybody, and God's just ready to punish people if they won't do what he says, and that there's no love or compassion, and they've been told a lie like that, and they're not sure what to expect. If we're saved and we have a relationship with him, we know what to expect, don't we? Amen? Let me draw the parallel here. If you're married and you're married to a good husband, you know what to expect. And you have some experience in that. And you know that he loves you. And when somebody loves you, they take good care of you and they provide for you and they defend you and all the rest. Ruth doesn't have that in verse 1. It needs to come to pass. And so look at the steps, and we'll just get started, and then we'll finish up next week. But look at verse 1. First of all, Naomi, her mother-in-law, begins to speak to her. And I would just remind you, when you and I got saved, somebody had to talk to us, didn't they? Amen? Amen? Now, I have heard stories of people that got saved reading a tract. But I found out a long time ago, if you take this tract and you put a stethoscope on it and listen to it real carefully, there's no heartbeat here. I know the fellow that wrote it had a heart, but this tract doesn't have a heart. It's a piece of paper. It's inanimate. God did not call paper to share the gospel. He called you and I to share the gospel. So when we hand somebody a tract, don't stop doing that. But it's not just the piece of paper or the words on it. It's the heart that goes with it. And you're going to see a lot better result if you can talk to somebody. Naomi cares about Ruth, doesn't she? And Ruth has already committed herself in one regard, and that is she's left her people, she's left her homeland, she's left what's familiar to her, she's left her false gods. And so she's kind of in a no man's land, if you will. She's not established yet, but she can be. And Naomi says, here's what you need to do. It's really clear, but let me say it one more time. We need to tell people what needs to be done. Amen? Amen. And don't hesitate. And the more people you tell, the more results you're going to see. So verse 2, the question is, now is not Boaz of our kindred? Now, there's another way to say that. We already explained the relationship issue, but he's qualified. In other words, not just anybody could deliver Ruth, not just anybody could marry her and give her children the way that the Bible described, but he can. And not just anybody can save you, but the Lord can. Amen? Amen? There is one who can save. There is one who's qualified. I could go on and on. How is he qualified? Well, he's the sinless Lamb of God. He's the one that was chosen to come and to die for our sins. And he's also willing, by the way. We'll see the willingness later on. But there is one that's qualified. And so she says, behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. And so I won't read all this word for word again, but what she says to her in verse 3 is to go to that place where he is, and then there's some things that she's going to be told to do. Some of this I've read and read and read. I want you to understand two or three things. First of all, number one, there's nothing untoward happening here. There's nothing immoral. There's nothing lewd or licentious or lascivious, anything like that. This is all above board. And there are phrases in the Bible that have, they are idiomatic, which means they refer to something else. Like if I was to say to you, what's a good idiom that we use all the time? I use all the time, I say, there's a boatload of such and such in the garage. I don't really mean that. I just use that idiom, that phrase, to say there's a whole bunch of it. There are times in the Bible where it speaks like that. This is not one of them. Okay, there are some references here that have meaning. One of them has the idea of being covered with someone's skirt is the idea of having them commit to marry you. But when she goes down to the threshing floor and she uncovers his feet, that's just what happened. And that's all that happened. Amen? There's nothing wrong here. There's nothing immoral. And the thought here is that Ruth had to go to this place, and she had to humble herself, and she had to disclose herself to this man in the sense that she was willing And in verse 3 it says, when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now you can see the humility there. She simply makes herself, and don't read something bad into this, she makes herself humble before him. Here I am. He knows exactly what she means. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have to save us, but he promised he would. I know he can't break his word, I know that. But he didn't have to do what he did. And it is not that we can come and demand salvation from him or demand a relationship with him. But when we come to him humbly, he promised, whosoever cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast them out. So we see ourselves in Ruth. We see, first of all, somebody had to tell us in verse 1 that there was a place to go to have this safety, to have this security. And it involves establishing something which is a relationship, a permanent relationship, not just being able to go and gather food out of their field every year. And then after being told there's something we had to do, we had to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in humility, asking, not demanding salvation, and then praise God, he gave it to us. Amen? Amen. He gave us that salvation. I'm going to try to find a stopping place here. In verse 5, Naomi is through speaking now, and Ruth says to Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And you just got to love this girl. She is very, she listens, she's obedient, she's cooperative, and she does just what Naomi said for her to do. And I just think I'll try and stop right there. We'll finish this up next week. But let me give you the points just so you know where we're going, okay? So she was willing to surrender in verse 5, wasn't she? Boaz was willing to save in verse 11. And then in verse 15, there was a sacrifice involved there. We'll talk about that just a little bit. And that was not just for Ruth, but it was also for Naomi. And then there was a dependence which was established. And there was still some uncertainty. And try to make some sense out of that next week if we could. But aren't you glad you have more than just a casual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? When you got saved, when we got saved, it's a permanent thing. That's one of the reasons that the people that teach you can lose your salvation, they really are offensive scripturally. That's one of those false doctrines. That's one of those things that's not the truth. That's one of those things we should be able to show from the Bible how we know we're saved forever. Because the Lord Jesus Christ didn't save you until you changed your mind, which you typically would not, of course. He did not save you until you sinned again. He did not save you until you crossed some line that you was too far. He saved you for all eternity, amen? There's a relationship there that's established, and it will remain unbroken for all eternity. And in that relationship with him, that's where there is safety, and that's where there is rest. And that's the picture we see in the book of Ruth. And we should nurture that relationship with him. We should take advantage of that relationship with him by spending time with him. Amen? Yeah. And folks, the relationship is mutual. And what I mean by that is he has promised, he has obligated himself to care for us, hasn't he? So much better than fending for yourself. Amen. Sorry for those folks that don't understand they have a relationship with the Lord. Let's all stand and pray.